Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, in all three of our readings today, there is this theme of repentance. There's a sense of urgency. And I want to start with this gospel. This is the beginning of Mark's gospel. And now that the Christmas season is over and we're back at ordinary time, we start the beginning of the gospels. And right in the beginning, this is as our Lord is beginning his public ministry. Right after John the Baptist had been arrested, it says, Jesus comes and he starts proclaiming the gospel of God in Galilee. And what does he say? He says, this is the time of fulfillment. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. As our Lord is beginning his public ministry, think about this. As our Lord is beginning his public ministry, his first message is repent. Not God loves you, keep doing what you want, everything's happy, you're all going to go to heaven. No, he says repent. Believe in the gospel. The kingdom of God is at hand. And I think this could tell us something, because so often we can lose track of what the Christian message really is. And please, don't get me wrong, a large part of the Christian message is that God loves us no matter what we do. He has that perfect unconditional love for us. We could be the worst sinners in the world, and God still loves us. He doesn't love what we're doing, but he still loves us, and he still wants us to be saved. So that is a very important part of the Christian message. But just as important, and it seems almost more important because this is the way our Lord chose to begin his public ministry, is the sense of repentance. Because after all, we can't get to heaven unless we're first willing to do what it takes to get there, unless we're sorry for our sins. God doesn't just say, I'm going to pretend your sins aren't there and that you're not actually sinners and just come on in. No, he says, I want you in, but I need to forgive you. And in order to forgive you, you first need to repent. I can't force you into heaven, God's saying. So there's this sense right at the beginning of our Lord's public ministry of repentance. And that should ring loud and clear to me and to each and every one of you, to all of us, brothers and sisters, that we're all called to repentance. And there's this sense of urgency. In that second reading we heard from St. Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, He says, brothers and sisters, I tell you, the time is running out. The world in its present form is passing away. And instead of getting caught up on when the end of the world is going to be, as some people would want to do, what we really should do is just take Paul at what he's saying and realize that we don't know how much time we're going to have left, and that we can't push off that repentance to another day. We're all called to repentance, and we're all called to it today. Conversion is a daily process. Yes, many of us can point to one or two or three big moments of conversion in our lives, but that's not the only type of conversion there is. Conversion is a daily process. And finally, I want to say something about the first reading, because this too is about repentance. We all are pretty familiar with this story, I think. The prophet Jonah was called by God to go and to preach to the Ninevites and to call them to repentance. Now, remember the story. God told Jonah that this is what he wanted him to do, and Jonah doesn't want to do it. Jonah does not like the Ninevites. They were not part of the chosen people. They were generally considered bad, evil people. Jonah didn't want to call them to repentance. Jonah would have rather seen them smitten by God. So Jonah, remember, ran from this call at first. And remember, he ran from the call to go and preach to the Ninevites. And so what ended up happening, remember, he got on the ship to sail away, and there were all these storms, and they figured out that it was because of Jonah running away from God's call. They threw him overboard. The whale swallowed him. He kind of had that big conversion experience and got spit up by the whale. And finally, after getting it through his head, he went and he preached to the Ninevites, as God had called him to do. He finally accepted that mission, preached to the Ninevites, and guess what? They repented. And at the end of this first reading, it says, God saw their actions, how they turned from their evil ways, and he did not carry out the evil that he had threatened against them. So because of Jonah's preaching to the Ninevites, which he was reluctant to do, God ended up turning his anger away from them and ended up having mercy on them. And this should say something to us, brothers and sisters, on a practical level about our lives as Christians. Sometimes we want to think that the Christian life is just me and Jesus. You know, it's just my personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and that's it. And that's wrong. That's heresy, technically. It's not about just me and Jesus. Yes, that's the first part. But then after I have my relationship with Jesus, I am called to go out into the world and to bring other people to Jesus. And sometimes what that means is calling other people out. Calling other people to repentance as Jonah did. And of course, when we do this, it can't be a sense of, I'm holier than thou, and I'm going to beat you over the head with the truth. Of course, we can't do that because we're sinners too. And for many of us, the only reason we have turned away from sin is because someone else earlier in our lives called us to repentance. But we need to be willing to do that. To be listening for other people to call us to repentance, and then to go out into the world and call other people to repentance. And in this society, that's not politically correct. You're considered to be judging someone if you call them to repentance. If you point out the intrinsic evil of what they might be doing, oh, you're judging me. Well, no, I'm not judging you. I'm telling you that what you're doing is wrong. And out of my true love for you, and out of me wanting to see what's best for you, and wanting to see God's will fulfilled, namely that you get to heaven one day, I need to call you out on this. And it's not beating you over the head with the truth. It's not, I'm a perfect, holy person, and you're a sinner, and you're wrong, and you need to stop doing this. It's, look, I'm a sinner too. In this particular instance, however, you're in the wrong. And you need to repent. And you need to stop doing what you're doing, or start doing what you're not doing, but should be doing. And again, the world today sees that as judging people. And we need to be very careful in the way we present this message, because of course it can look that way if we don't do it with charity, true charity. And how fitting is it, brothers and sisters, that these readings fall today? Respect Life Sunday. The Sunday, it's always a Sunday right before the March for Life, which is tomorrow in D.C., and today itself being the anniversary of Roe versus Wade. And one thing I always like to say whenever I even begin to mention abortion in a homily is this. Yes, there are many pro-life issues, and the cause against abortion is just one of them. Granted, it is the one that takes the most number of lives, but we do need to apply that seamless garment approach in the truest sense of the word, that when we are pro-life in every stance. We are against abortion, yes, but we're also against the death penalty. And we're also against embryonic stem cell destruction. And we're also against euthanasia. So, yes, we need to have that seamless garment approach in the truest sense of the word. But that does not take away the fact that abortion does take the most number of lives every year. In fact, in America, over 3,000 human beings are killed every day through legalized abortions. And those are just the legal ones that are reported. But tomorrow, many of us are going to have the opportunity to go to D.C. to participate in the March for Life. And if you haven't made plans yet, maybe there's still time. Get up there and take a sick day from work or something. But get up there and help to spread that message. And again, when we do this, we don't beat people over the head with the truth, but we call them to repentance. And, you know, there's something to be said about this reading from Jonah. Because I don't know about you, but I know myself, when I hear about some of these atrocities with abortion, some of these really disgusting third-term abortions where they induce labor on a 9-month baby and stick a vacuum into its head to kill it. I mean, really nasty things. When you hear this, I, like Jonah sometimes, think, I don't want to call that person to repentance. I want to see them burn in hell for all of eternity. Sometimes I feel that way. and I don't want to call them to repentance sometimes. I feel like Jonah, and I say, Lord, I know you love them. I know you love those late-term abortionists. I know you want them in heaven with you for all of eternity, but Lord, I'm having a hard time calling them to repentance. Not because I don't want them to stop, but because I think that maybe they will stop and then they will go to heaven. And I don't want that. And that's my pride. That's me getting in the way of what God wants, and I need to get over that. And all of us need to get over that, because I think there's a tinge of that in all of us. When we don't want, when we want to see someone else suffer for their sins, we don't want to call them to repentance, not because we don't want them to stop, but because we think that they might actually repent, and God might actually have mercy on them, and they might not actually burn in hell for all of eternity. Brothers and sisters, we need to accept that call to repentance. We need to repent ourselves of our own sins. That's where it needs to start. We need to start with ourselves and heed our Lord's call today to repent. But after we do that, and while continuing to do that, we need to go out into the world and we need to call other people to repentance.